Good morning. We are here with Kurt Cooper with Reformed Youth Ministries. And Kurt, I just want you to take a minute and for everybody here just to tell us a little bit about RYM and history because we've been super involved.
Okay. Well, RYM began in the early 1970s. This coming summer, 2023, 73, was when it began, and this coming summer will be the 50th summer of RYM conferences. And it started in Chattanooga, actually, and it's moved around, and now it's grown six student conferences comprising about 4,000, almost 5,000 attendees each year. One conference in Colorado, one conference in Texas, one conference in the Mid-Atlantic in what they call Mid-Atlantic in Maryland, and three conferences at Laguna Beach, Christian Retreat Center in Panama City, Florida. So, and on top of that, the RYM has also grown in that it does two other conferences only for youth leaders. So it does a conference for youth leaders in Nashville in January, and then in February they do a conference for youth leaders in Pennsylvania up north. I can't remember the exact numbers, but several hundred youth leaders come to the one in Nashville, and I think about 100 or so go to the one in Pennsylvania. So they have cast a pretty wide net. Now, RYM is not the PCA's ministry. It is a non-denominational ministry per se, although the PCA obviously has a huge influence on it. But on purpose, it reaches out to all Reformed churches across denominations. But obviously there's a big PCA influence with RYM. It was started by the PCA and by PCA teaching elders. And it maintains that almost all the board members and staff members are PCA, are members of the PCA. But RYM wants to reach out to Anglican, Episcopal, even Reformed Baptist, EPC, OPC, ART, a bunch of other flavors. So it's a pretty big operation. I think RYM's budget is slightly larger than our church's budget. But their staff, there are currently, I want to make sure I get this right, permanent staff members for RYM. They have a director of training. They have who trains up interns and youth ministers. Yeah. They have a director of resources who does podcasts, writes books. They have basically an operations manager, business manager slash, and they have a conference coordinator slash music director who directs the conferences and handles all the details for conferences, but also writes and performs a lot of their original music. You can go more on that in just a second. And then they also have an executive director who was just recently hired. He's been on about 7 or 8 months. We just recently hired him. His name is Brent Corbin. And the thing I want to emphasize is the five people I just mentioned, none of them live in the same state. They all work remote. There's no RYM, central office. Brent lives in Louisiana. Joe lives in Texas. Margaret lives in Georgia. John lives in Mississippi. And Michael lives in Virginia. So a lot of what they do is remote work. And it's kind of nice in that regard. About the music and the podcast, I also want to mention, because this is something that a lot of people don't avail themselves of. But, one, you can go to Spotify or Apple Music or whatever your music, however you acquire your music, unless you're still going to a record store. In this case, I don't know. But, I don't know if they have a 45 or not. But they have, If you go to Spotify and you just look up RYM Worship, they have multiple albums. They're awesome. They're really good. They'll cover old hymns, but they also, Joe Deegan is in charge of that, and he writes his own songs. And some of them are some of our youth group's favorite songs, or ones that he's written, particularly one called Child of the King, which I recommend to anyone. And then if you go to RYM has a podcast called The Local Youth Worker, which is, it's really aimed at youth workers, but you don't have to be a youth worker to get something out of it. And I've been a guest on a local youth worker many, many times. John Parrott is who runs that. And they also have a book series, which you, I'm going to mess up here, but I think Crossway publishes it, but they do this track series where they write these tiny books. And if I had been on my game, I would have gone upstairs and gotten them, and brought them down. But they write these tiny little track books that are made for students to read, but also for parents, to read. And on big topics, justification, sanctification, but also on kind of niche topics, video games, music, all kinds of ideas. And their track series is awesome. And they're really bite-sized bits of Reformed theology and bite-sized bits of the gospel in each one of them. And John manages that and kind of edits all of that. So their ministry, when people think of RYM, what they think of is a week at the beach for my middle schooler or my high schooler, and it is much more than that.
Crazy. How many churches do you think attend all the conferences?
Okay, I was trying to add that up. We had our board meeting last Tuesday, a week ago. We have an annual board meeting, and I wasn't able to attend in person. I attended via Zoom, and I was trying to add up the number of churches to go, and it's tricky because – you know, the way that RYM keeps up with it is every church for each conference. So they can tell you how many churches attended this conference or that conference. But, you know, we're two churches,
right?
Because we attend two of their conferences. So how many individual churches? I don't know, but it's in the hundreds for sure. The conference, like this coming summer, the conferences that we'll attend in middle school, Florida, there'll be a lot more churches, although there'll be fewer people. There'll be about 800 or 900 students at middle school, Florida. And that could compose as many, more than 100 churches. A lot of churches bring less than 10 people. A lot of small churches. And then at the high school conference in Florida, the biggest conference, which is called Week 2, which is the original conference, the one that started it all. More than 1,500 people will be there as attendees at that conference, and a ton, a lot of our sister churches and churches that we have good relationships with and youth groups that we have relationships with all be there as well. So it's a lot of people. I couldn't tell you without, I wouldn't feel good about saying how many churches, but it's a lot, And I know this. I think 18 Texas churches went to RYM Colorado last year. 18 churches, different churches from Texas. And I think like 7 or 8 from Alabama and 7 or 8 from Mississippi. And this is to Colorado where we went last summer. So that'll give you a flavor. And Colorado that year, there was more than 1,000 kids there, or attendees. Mm-hmm. You've got to count chaperones in that too. More than 1,000 attendees and at that conference. So
I know it's different with middle school and high school, but what's a typical day like there? How do you keep them busy?
Well, when you've been doing something for 50 years, you're probably pretty good at it. And, so they know, what to do, but my selling point for RYM and why I think every student should go, if they can, is that I've got a lot of selling points here. I'm trying to distill them down. But if on a typical day, they're going to be in the Word for 3 hours every day that they're there. All right. Especially Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the heart of the conference, those 3 days, they're going to be in the Word for 3 hours. And, because you're going to wake up and you're going to have breakfast. Although some students, I let ours skip breakfast sometimes, depending upon, because you don't actually go to bed at like 9:30 at night at this thing. you wake up, you have breakfast, then you have a designated quiet time. RYM provides devotionals for everybody, every attendee in their, they get out a little book. And it has devotionals for every day that a youth minister writes. And then after your quiet time, they give you a little time to go back and brush your teeth or do whatever you need to do. And then you go to electives, and you go to two back-to-back electives. And these are what I think separate RYM from every other youth conference, because they get really good, they get youth leaders and teachers, who I would call to come teach here at any moment. Like, and I'd feel very confident that they're very solid, and they cover things that kids are interested in. You might go to one on election, and it'll be called "Did I Choose God or Did God Choose Me?" Or you might be called, you might choose to go to one that, you know, on addiction, you know, not only like, substance addiction, but like behavioral addictions and like the addiction to your phone, you know, and things like that, which a lot of students deal with. You could go to one on sanctification, or you could, there's one on what do you do when it seems like God's being unfair? Or if God already knows, why? God already knows what I'm thinking, then why am I bothering to pray? These are some of the titles of the, you know, of the electives. Or like embracing story in the scripture, and why, you know, like in your own story, they've got a ton of them. You get to choose two, and you go every day to that same elective, right? And so that teacher, those, for 3 or 4 days, depending on the length of the conference, teaches you, gets to like kind of lead you through whatever the theme is or the topic is biblically. And so you go to one for 45 minutes, and then you go to another one for 45 minutes, or 50 minutes, I think, yes, actually, total. And then you go to lunch, and then they have afternoon activities. And depending upon the age of the attendees, there's the younger you are when you go, the more structured this time is, and the older you are, the less structured it is, which is really great. Like so they'll have competitions, a basketball tournament, a can jam tournament, a volleyball tournament, sandcastle building, all kinds of stuff going on the beach, at the pools, and that goes on. That's from post lunch until dinner. That's what's happening. And then you have dinner, and then you go, to a large group. And you're going to sing, and then, they're going to have, you know, a really good, every conference has a theme, right? And there's going to be a speaker who preaches, expository preaching from the word on whatever that theme is. And the theme could be is God really there? Or who is God? Or the importance of scripture, or what, they have catchier titles than this, but they come up with, they got good branding. I'm trying to remember the themes over the years, and they're all running together, but one of them was definitely who is God. Another one is what do I do with my doubt? So you do that, then you leave that and you go to small groups and you talk about what you just heard. And then there's a little bit of free time, and then you get them back in the cabin or back in the room, wherever, dorm or wherever you're staying. And then you try to get them to go to bed. And they usually stay up really late. Although they're, some of my best memories from RYM are, at 12:30 and 1 in the morning yelling at people and being yelled at. Right now I'm just thinking about Phelps Williams for some reason. But not because they're in trouble, just because he lost in a card game and he's furious about it. That's what a typical day looks like. Now, here's the thing that I got to say about RYM. And if you don't hear anything else I say about it, this is, I think, maybe the most important thing to say, is that the difference between RYM and anywhere else that you could send your junior high or high school student is who they go with. You don't go to RYM by yourself. No one signs up to go to RYM. There's no one. It's not like, you know, you don't go with your parents. I mean, I guess if your dad or your mom was your chaperone, that, you know, but for the most part, you go with your church. And this is what makes it so special, is that the people that you experience RYM with, you know, the people that you room with, the people that you go to electives with, the people that you go out on the beach and play games with, those are going to be the same exact, and the people that you're sitting under God's word, the teaching of God's words with, those people are going to be the ones that you see every week at church, every day in the neighborhood, every day at school. And so when you don't make the cheer team, or you don't make the basketball team, or when your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with you, or when you make really bad grades and your parents are on your case, you get grounded for doing something stupid at Halloween or whatever it is that you've done or whatever, the people that are going to be with you in that are the people that are also there at RYM. And I like, to me, there's no replacing it. It's almost like, putting youth ministry on steroids, because you're spending this concentrated time with these students. For the youth minister and for the youth group, you're spending this concentrated time, so you can't help but grow closer to each other. And that's where a lot of good conversations occur, and it's where a lot of memories are made. If you go up to the Frith and you walk through, we have these photos, which we need to replace, and, because everyone is too old now in those photos, but including me. But, you know, if you go back, if you just go and look at those photos, what you'll see is an overwhelming majority of those photos took place at RYM, because then that says something about how important it is to our ministry. So that was more than you wanted, but there you go.
That's great. Talk about the internship, you know, like that program, interns.
Oh, RYM interns. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, RYM doesn't put on these conferences. Those five staff members don't put on this conference by themselves. They need energy, and they hire, there's a lot of contract labor that they hire. You know, they hire people to run sound. They hire musicians to play with Joe. They have, you know, they have media people who film, and they have all, you know, they have a bookstore, all of these people that do stuff. But one of the main things they do is they hire college students who provide energy. I think they hire between 18 and 20 of them for the summer. And depending upon the conference, all of them might not be there. You know, it just depends. But they hire these college interns, who we've had several be interns. Most recently, Hunter Reeves, William Robertson, and Layton Robertson have all been, Richard Williamson, have all been RYM interns. And I might be forgetting someone. I don't think I am. But we've had... And it's been awesome. And it's a very competitive thing. That a lot of people apply to be RYM interns. And they help put on all the program. They do the grunt work. They do, but they also bring, they lead the games in large group. And they're out there running the tournaments. I would say they're kind of like the mascots of our, you know, Big Al or Aubie or Bully or, you know, Ole Miss doesn't have a mascot. Ha. But, you can get that on. They've got some shark, but I'm coming for you, Pat Lips. They're a fun representation of what it means to follow that school, those mascots, you know, and that's kind of what the interns are. For RYM. It's an important part of what RYM does. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's a loaded question, but I just want to know exactly what you mean before
I answer. I think, to me, it's more progressive. I mean, I'm hearing about other churches and denominations that are becoming progressive.
Sure.
And it really worries me that they're not hearing the truth of the word of God.
Yeah, well, as far as RYM is concerned, you know, like I said, the RYM is committed to biblical truth. So there's no, I don't know if they're attacking it, you know, per se. They're attacking woke culture, but I think they are standing up for biblical truth.
And I guess my concern for it is, as is it, I mean, this is what I'm hearing, you probably have a much better understanding than I do about this, but some of the younger pastors have a whole different view of Scripture.
Well, yeah, I'll say this.
And I just didn't know how much they have started putting pressure on our life.
Yeah.
To embrace it.
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm evading your question. I'm not. At the same time, I feel like I'm trying to hit a moving target because I don't even know what that means, that younger people have a different younger pastors have a different version of Scripture. But I'll say this.
I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying I've heard that some of that progressive move is coming from some of the younger
pastors. Well, I'll just be as blunt as I can. And I don't mind. I don't mind this being recorded. The Methodist Church is in the thick of it right now. Everyone knows. What happened to us in the 70s is happening right now to them and probably should have happened earlier, but they are in a bad way. And part of the problem, if I can be as bold again, I'm not a Methodist and I would never trust speaking to their problems, without being asked. But from the outside, I would say one of the big problems that the Methodist Church has is they believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. It's not the Word of God, right? It's right there in their statement, in the United Methodist Church statement.
It's their statement.
Yeah. It's that the Bible contains the Word of God. And there's a big difference between, you know, that sounds like fine. I don't want to be lawyerly here. Sometimes I feel like we have too many lawyers around, but and that is a disrespect to lawyers if you're listening to this, but please don't sue me. Because I don't know the rules and you'll win. But, you know, that sounds like, splitting hairs, but it's not. But at RYM and at this church, we say Scripture is the Word of God. And when it's uncomfortable for us, it's on us to conform ourselves to it, not to change it to conform to whatever we want. And there's a lot of cultural, I think what you're talking about is like speaking into the culture.
Right.
And there's a lot of that happens to RYM in a major way. And in a way that can't be done, in the same way in the churches. And the people who are, when you send your student to RYM, they are going to be challenged and, you know, they're going to be challenged in the Scriptures and they're going to be challenged how to live their life, you know, to follow Christ. But what's not going to be challenged is that they shouldn't trust the Bible or trust Jesus. That will be undergirded and strengthened. They will hear like, hey, your culture hasn't got everything figured out, right? Like everyone's culture needs repentance. No matter who you are, where you are, where you're from, everyone needs the gospel to change them, what you won't hear is that you can't trust the Bible or that there's something you got to add to Jesus or that there's a certain way that, there's a certain way to follow Jesus and all the other ways are invalid. You know, we figured it out. You won't hear that at RYM. And you know, I think for good reason, I hope you wouldn't hear that here either, if that makes sense.
No, it does. You know, the thing is, because I came from the Christian church. And when I went and told my rector that I had attached Jesus in my heart, for some reason, he thought, and maybe I said something, but he said, Paul, you believe the Bible is the inherent word of God. I was a brand new Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I believe it contains the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. I had no idea, but I knew something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we came to the Methodist Church. So mm-hmm. we have two different backgrounds where I assume the dissolution of the church
mm-hmm.
through heresy.
And see, not only is that, Paul, not only what you're saying is important, but I also just want to say this, since we're being recorded in case this is, everything is on the internet. But, my mom's going to watch this. I don't think we're worried about offending her, but, any more than I already have. But like, when I, like what happened in the Episcopal Church, you know, and then what's happening now in the Methodist Church, And what happened to our church in the 70s, I don't stand in judgment over them in any way. Instead, my heart breaks for them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are communities. I have a pretty ecumenical spirit. Now, I'm Presbyterian for a reason, and we're the best. You know, I wouldn't have chosen to be Presbyterian if I didn't think it was the best. If I thought that it was really better to be, you know, Episcopalian and I was Presbyterian, you know, what are you doing? But, you know, I love being in, I love the PCA and but at the same time, you know, I really appreciate what all these different denominations. In fact, we do a series with the youth here at Trinity. This doesn't have to do with RYM, but I've done a series in the past that I probably need to bring back at some point called What's Up With Them. And What's Up With Them is a series where we look at, we start with ourselves. We're not with ourselves, but the people who are closest to us in theology. And we say, okay, what are the strengths of the Methodist Church, the Episcopalian Church, the Anglican Church, the Baptist Church, the Assembly of God, the, you know, whatever it is. What are their strengths, but also what are their weaknesses? And then we just kind of go out, you know, in all directions until we get like out of the faith and into, you know, Islam, you know, or, you know, whatever, wherever you want to go. And then at the very end, we say, well, what's up with us? That's the last lesson is what's up with us? Like, what is our strength? But in Christendom, everybody has a strength, right? But everyone also has a weakness, and that weakness will get you. And our weakness will get us if we're not careful. So, I've gone to preaching, so, I hope I've answered your
question. We have 7 grandkids in PCA, and so that's why I'm asking this question.
Yeah.
The RYM, we've only had 1 of my grandsons so far, though, because he's only going to get old.
Yeah.
But, it's important to me to know what my grandkids are going to be doing.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about what you're saying today.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they need to hear the truth.
Well, let me tell you something else that's really cool. All right. And this is what I love about RYM is we can get on the phone right now. Now I've been an elected teacher for years at RYM. We can get on your phone right now, on your laptop right now. You can just put in my name, Kirk Cooper, RYM elected. You just Google that. Everything that they do is online. So there's a ton of transparency with RYM because it's not like we take these kids away and we teach them something secret and then send them back out to y'all and be like, oh, okay, well, what did they learn there? What went on there? What, you know, it's all of this right out in the open. I think there's a real sense of, you know, if someone does, and this has happened, if someone does teach something that we're concerned with, that the staff or the board say, you know, in an elective or in large group, well, we got it there to listen to for everyone to hear, you know, and when that's happened, that person hasn't been invited back to teach anymore. So, that's not something that, everything's up for review. And even at the end of every conference, they let all the youth leaders fill out an evaluation where they can evaluate, based on what their students say, but also based on what they heard, the main speaker, the music, all the electives, you know, that they, you know, and we get that back as an elective teacher. I get it back. And people will say, you know, you were too, you know, harsh, or you were too, whatever, you know, sometimes the negative stuff stays with you a lot longer than the positive stuff. But so there's a ton of, transparency.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, so, that, I think that's important because parents want to know that when they send their child somewhere that they're not sending them to some kind of indoctrination camp, right? Where they're getting told something, you know, getting told whatever, I'm going to be really dangerous here and be like, but they still send them to Alabama and Auburn. Anyway, you take that for what you will. But, you know, Mississippi State, they don't, everything good is that happens there. But, you know, it's just one of those things they want to know when they send their junior high and high school student there, that they're, that what they're getting is reinforced. And one thing that Mary Cam and Shay and Elisa before Mary Cam, when we would talk about doing ministry, and I think this is an important part of what RYM does, but also an important part of what we do with the youth, is when we're talking with students, one of the best things that we can hear that's what my mom says. That's what my dad says. That's when you know that you're doing it right, right? Because we don't dispense a lot of advice. Our role is more to listen first, right? And to hear their story, to get them to talk about whatever. But when they do ask us questions and we answer it, when we hear, oh, that's what my mom said, that's what my dad said, that's great.
Yeah.
That's our role, is to go in and reinforce the relationship that already exists that God created between parent and child. So, yeah.
You're welcome. How many youth do you have active right here at Trinity?
Define active.
And on a routine basis, you know, come to your different ministries.
Okay, well, I'm not trying to be coy again.
Yeah.
You know, because how does someone interact with our church? That's a great question. Like, where is, for some people, their interaction with our church might only be this morning in some study they come to. That might be it. Or their interaction might be just, you know, what used to be, you know, or 10 a.m. worship at our church. Or maybe they come to Sunday school and then they go worship somewhere else. Or maybe they only come on Wednesday nights and then they just come for the meal or, you know. There's a bunch of different ways to, there's a bunch of different handles where to grab onto our church, right? So all that applies to regular people also applies to youth. And so it's tough to say, well, this person's active because they come to Sunday school, but this person's not active. They don't come to Sunday school, but they come to fellowship on Sunday nights at my house. They come to wherever. So I'm not trying to be coy or evade.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to explain what I'm about to say, which is this, is that on the roll, we have about 90 students. Right? That's the lowest it's ever been since I've been here. So I've been trying to like winnow it down. Slowly we'll get to zero. Now obviously. No. That's the lowest it's ever been since I've been here. And the, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but one of the reasons for it, the reason that it's gone down is that there are fewer kids in these classes. You know, we do our best to try to get people invited, but you know, when you graduate 27 and the sixth graders coming in, there are 9 of them. Well, you just lost 18 to your number, right? Well, that's happened several years in a row. Our junior and senior classes are our two smallest classes. There was a couple of years ago, maybe in 2018 or so, where our largest class was our senior class, but they would have been the smallest class in 2014 and they were our largest. So, but before I came here during the height of Blake's time, we were about this size. And I think that's kind of where we are, but we kind of had an explosion about 2 or 3 years after I came here. I came in 2012, the beginning of 2012, and in 2014, we had 144 kids on the roll. Okay. So that was a wild time. So we had a lot of people and it slowly kind of like, it's slowly, we've had these big classes graduate in smaller classes and so on. So 90 kids on the roll. Okay. Now, how many of those kids participate? Okay. Well, that's a lot of what Shane and I do. A lot of what Shane and I do is we work on how to measure where our people are involved and then how to get them more involved. And what's not listed in that 90, I talked about this yesterday at staff meeting. But what's not listed in that 90 is, so the other night at fellowship, we had a pretty big crowd. And I can't remember exactly how many people, but it was either in the high 30s or low 40s at my house, high school students. It's just 9th and 12th grade. That's a big crowd for us. You know. And I rattled off 25% of that crowd, 11 of them, at least 25% of that crowd, 11 of them are not members of our church. And they don't darken our door on Sundays, but they are at my house. They're regularly at my house every Sunday night, or they might regularly be at my Bible study that I have right now, typically on Tuesdays. And so, you know, I don't count that. That's not counted in that number either. And I've made jokes about this from the pulpit, but I really believe it's true that no one wants to get invited to youth group by me. I'm an old, you know, I know that some of you look at me like, oh, you're young, you're still, no, I'm not. My congregation never ages, okay? They never age. They've been the same age since I started, and they're going to be the same age when I leave. And they're always between 12 and 18 years old, and I am very old to them. And no one wants to get invited. What they want is for their friends to invite them. And so what we try to do is, one, we try to make it as good as we can, you know, as awesome as we can make it, so that it's a well and not a fence. It's something that they want to come to, not something that they have to come to. And then we try to empower them to invite other people. And our students really take, I mean, those 11 kids that I just mentioned, I didn't invite a single one of them to my house. Not a single one. I can't get credit for it at all. Someone else invited them. Someone from our group. And you know, that's what we want, right? Wouldn't it be awesome to walk in here on Sunday morning, you know, and, you know, 25% of the crowd was people that we'd invited. In many ways, the youth understand this better than we do. We could learn, we could, you know, what's it say in 1 Timothy? Don't anyone look down on you for your youth, but set an example. Like, in many ways, they're setting the example. And I can't take any credit for that either. They're doing it, right? I'm telling them to do it, but anyone should be telling them to do it, but they're doing it. So
this, I was not asking this in a negative way. You have a very effective ministry, and I am blessed, and we are blessed to have you here. The fact that your students are inviting people is probably the most important thing that you can do. So I know a few folks that have come from other places, but I just think you're doing a tremendous job. And if you can reach these young people, and we can reach the old people like you're reaching the young people, because it's these young people that are coming to the Lord and doing discipling. Lord, when are you going to send them out into the world as missionaries, whether they're full-time or not? So,
well,
it's very encouraging to me in light of looking at the rest of the world of what you're doing. So I just want to thank you for it. And, you know, I've learned a lot sitting here, but you really make a big difference, and I thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to direct it back to RYM, if I can, just 1 second, and say this. this church supports RYM financially. And just so you understand, RYM is a 501c3, just like us. And RYM, let's say that it costs $500 for someone, for a student to go to RYM for a week. All right. What it cost RYM to have that student is not $495. It's more like $800, right? When you factor in all the things that need to be done in order to make RYM happen. So I just want to thank you, you know, the people who care about missions. I think RYM is a mission, and I think, you know, I'm glad that we consider it one. And I, you know, I hope that not only do we continue to support RYM, but we might even consider supporting them in an even greater way, because what they're doing matters. What they're doing, they're not only are they training up our youth, you know, that's one part of what they do, but they're also training up future youth ministers, or the current youth ministers who are going to become the next, you know, discipleship pastor or senior pastor somewhere, right? You know, or the, you know,
they're training up missionaries too.
Yes, or to go on the mission field, or to go and do college ministry, or to go and do whatever, they're training those people up. And I'd also, you know, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir and you guys know this, but I just think it needs to be said that most people come to Christ. When is the time when the most people, when you're most likely to come to Christ? Really right around 11, 12, 13 years old, 14, like right in that sweet spot. And oftentimes, you know, even though we know that to be the case, oftentimes, you know, if we paid attention to the amount of time and talent and treasure that we invest in the church, oftentimes we act like that's not the case. You might think, you know, the way we do things, that the way in which most people, you know, come to Christ was when they're 55 or when they're, you know, 42, or whatever age, but that's why I think RYM is so important, is because they're aiding and abetting us in, you know, pointing people to Jesus at a time when they're ready to hear. Yeah.
I want to get into time of prayer. Is there any, we have the prayer requests here, talk about lives. Is there anything else more specific that you want to add?
Yeah, you know, I think what I gave you is good. I also want to say that I want to thank Julie, because Julie gave me a ride up here this morning. So I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Julie. Literally.
A little selfish, you know.
Literally.
What would we have done?
I literally called her last night. I was like, hey, my tire is like completely flat and I can't get it off. But I can't get it off of. I was trying to change last night. Chet Muller was trying to help me. It was just a complete, it was just a horror show. But yeah, so thanks for letting me be here.
All right.
Yeah, we
could have
gotten you too.
Alan, well, you know, all in the neighborhood. Alan, you want to open Bubble Me, please?
Yep. Father, we just come for you today. We just thank you for RYM. We thank you for how you raised this ministry up in the Reformed faith to help parents and help churches grow up kids that love you and are accepting you as their Savior, Father. Father, we just continue to pray for the upcoming summer and other seminars and trips that RYM is putting together, that you would prepare the speakers, that you would prepare the interns and youth that are coming there, that there would be more participation from more churches, and that you would financially support RYM and help them grow their financial basis to whatever means they need to. Father, well, we thank you for Kurt, his willingness to serve on their board, and his teaching that goes to RYM. We just pray that you would give him strength and give him the insight to know what to teach in the proper times. We just ask this in Christ.
Heavenly Father, thank you for her. Thank you for bringing in the training. We'll come back for a short while. I'm so blessed by his preaching. How you speak through him, and I just think about the impact he's had through kids that are coming from other churches. I just pray you grow that ministry here. I know that's a basis for a group that will go to RYM each year. And how they can be lights for you. I pray that RYM will stay true to its task to preach the word faithfully. And the pastors like her to keep us strong. That they would not stray from us. I just pray for this anxious support for RYM and see what a dramatic difference it can make in fights. Prepare them to go out the world. For people in terms of other churches to realize how important it is for the youth. And their hearts are perhaps more tender. But we know it's your Holy Spirit that does, Lord, whatever aids it. It's not Chris, Lord. It's usually those that remember to respond to you and trust you. We pray that you continue to just encourage.
Heavenly Father, thank you for RYM and for those who began this ministry long ago, and for those who continue to lead it and sustain it. And I pray for this John Colvin, the leader, this new director, and for the board, give them wisdom as they continue to lead and shape, and for the youth ministers and all those occur who are teaching and in the seminars that the students will go to during the summer. We pray just what a great process, and we pray that that will continue faithful to your word. Thank you for Kurt and his role in this ministry and the energy that he brings to it, and yet I know that it fuels him too. And encourages him. So I pray your blessing on Kurt and Shay as they lead our youth ministry here. And just we're grateful for the students and just the way friendships work with high schoolers, but that other students are brought in, welcomed, and made a part of the group. We pray that that will continue. When we realize that these young folks are the future of your church, and so we pray that they would remain faithful and good stewards to the blessings that you give us for the sake of your kingdom.
Lord, I thank you for this time also. I thank you for ROIM. I thank you for Kurt's involvement in it. I thank you for what he's doing here at Trinity. Lord, I was sitting here thinking back years ago when I was in something called Methodist Youth Fellowship, and it really made an impact in my life. And I know how important it is to bring the gospel to our young people, particularly in this day and age. So I pray that you would be with the Kurt, the ministry here. Lord, that we as a congregation, we would support the youth ministry because it's such an important time in the lives of these young people to send them out equipped to live in the world, and Lord, to be involved in ministry, and Lord, maybe even to be missionaries and other involvement. So it's so encouraging to learn about what's going on, to be involved with it here at Trinity. And I just thank you again for this time, and again, lift up Kurt and what he's doing. And we are so blessed to have him and so thankful. So I pray you'll send us out today, and whatever opportunity you give each one of us, Kurt and his young people, to be a light in this dark world and share the gospel. So thank you for this time, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.